It did not take long before Baker was defending his cavalry, as he had his detectives, from charges they were a lawless bunch of vigilantes illegally confiscating property. No military authority has achieved such power in Washington and the surrounding country as the cavalry force under the command of Colonel Baker, read one newspaper item. Many complaints have been made of the abuse of this power in the arbitrary arrests. A poison pen letter arrived at Stanton's office from a Nevada territory man who had read the article and suggested the war secretary have one of his aides write the San Francisco Police Department for the record it had on Baker. He is a most untrustworthy man and an unmitigated liar, and much worse than that could be proven against him, the Nevada resident wrote. Stanton kept the letter, but there is no evidence in his files that he ever investigated allegations about Baker's past. As Lee's force moved into Maryland and Pennsylvania, Baker's 1st D.C. Cavalry, many of whose members had not yet been fully trained, roamed Fairfax, Loudoun, and Fauquier counties west of Washington, hunting intelligence for Hooker and chasing Baker's obsession, rebel guerrilla commander John Mosby. The intelligence his men uncovered proved paltry. A rebel deserter reported widespread dissatisfaction among the South's poor and working class for the Confederate cause. Hardly breaking news for Sharp. Baker vowed his Rangers would capture Mosby, but his rookies were no match for this seasoned, unconventional warrior. Joseph thought the excursion was a waste of time. After Lee's Pennsylvania campaign, Baker lost interest in leading what ended up being aimless forays to skirmish with the rebels. He never took command of the 1st D.C. Cavalry again, letting subordinates like Joseph supervise it in the field. The War Department, seeing no value to the regiment being with the detectives, eventually reassigned it to the regular army for combat operations in Virginia. But Baker got to keep his colonel's rank.